ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA. A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Report. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dolby.
Yep.
Indeed.
So we're gonna do things a little different this time because I insisted that comments not be first.
Okay.
So we're gonna talk about crap going on in our lives. You've been painting a lot of things. What paintings are you making?
Well, due to my sister-in-law Susan having a managerial position at Sherman Williams in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin.
Wow.
Sarah and I were able to procure all the paint we needed to paint every room in the house for, and all the supplies needed to use, you know, in doing so. Excuse me. See, that was an unintentional burp, so it doesn't count. It was all we got all that stuff we needed for like about $260. It was a really super great deal. So I wouldn't know. So Sarah and I recently painted the living room and the dining room, and so we need to move on into the other rooms of the house now. It went from a crappy, flat, super cheap primer beige to a, you know, professional paint, kind of coffee, chocolate, milky, you know, light brown.
But which, still, he was trying to point out the differences in beiges. And I'm like, I'm so glad I'm a renter.
Yeah. But the other rooms of the house will have actual colors to them, so, you know.
Yay. My husband is at O'Hare Airport right now, waiting to board a airplane where he is going to go to Casa Grande, Arizona, to visit his mother and other friends of his, but predominantly his mother. And I won't see him again till Sunday, and this is Tuesday night, so that is full of suck, fail, and sad, and it's going to suck for me. But at least I get the car. Although that's going to kind of suck, too, because I'm used to, like, tromping around all over the place on the buses, and I get a lot of walking in, and now I'm not going to get that much walking in, and I'm going to feel like a big, giant slug.
Well, you know, I it does occur to me, you know, Josh is over at the airport. I say... Let's call Josh! Every once in a while, oh my gosh, ring, hello, let's call Josh, hey!
Are you calling him? Okay, go for it.
Okay.
Was this something planned?
No. It's totally not planned.
I think I just got the text message saying that, no, that's just Twitter. Fuck you, Twitter, I'm turning you off. I don't mean it, I love you, Twitter.
I'm just kidding, Twitter. You know I love you. Josh, you're being incredibly disappointing right now. I want you to know this.
You're not entertaining us. You know, yeah, he doesn't answer his phone very with very much regularity. So.
Hello? Josh, can you hear us?
Now there's not voicemail or Josh. Just dead silence.
Way to ruin our bit, Josh.
Yeah.
We planned that for seconds.
And O'Hare, fuck you too.
Anyway.
So, like, are we gonna move on to our topic of discussion?
Is that what's on the outline? I suppose
yes.
So. Go for it, Carrie.
I was inspired by a Facebook post that Keys of The Awful Show made. And some responses that he got that were funny that I don't remember what any of it was. But basically, he was talking about text messaging and annoying things that can happen to you when you're texting or, you know, accidental things that can happen. My recent example that I believe I'm allowed to talk about now, since the word is out... I just got a text message from Josh, who didn't answer your phone call. Doesn't acknowledge that you called, but he texted me. Okay. So anyways, like, for instance, about, I'm going to guess, 2 months ago, I got the news from Josh that Schaefer the Dark Lord had agreed to come to MarsCon.
You got the news from me, not from Josh.
I'm sorry. I mix up Josh and Luke and Ken. They're like the three big men in my life, and I just like keep like flip-flopping the names all the fucking
time. And for you single guys, it's perfectly okay for women to do that, but if you do it as a guy and call one woman by any other woman's name, you might as well just, you know...
We'll get to that later.
Grab your nuts and stretch them out and wait for the machete to come because, you know... Anyway...
Basically, I was so excited, when I got the text from Luke that Schaefer the Dark Lord would be appearing at MarsCon, and I begged him to let me tell Ken, and he said, yes, okay, you can tell Ken, because Ken's, Schaefer the Dark Lord, enthusiast as well. So, are our levels high enough?
Yes.
They look a little babyish. Maybe we should give them a little boost. And then he texted me again. He still didn't acknowledge your phone call. Well, wait, which number did you call? 847 or 773? Carrie's just wondering what the number was.
773.
Okay. Well, I don't know. But he's turning his phone off now, so. So
I was so excited. This is such an interesting episode of Bad Rapport. This is going to be the best episode ever.
Fuck off. So anyways, I was so excited, and I was going to text Ken, who had recently posted to Twitter. And I was so excited that I got confused when I saw Madman OTL as the most recent text from Twitter. So I, instead of texting Ken about the big secret about Schaefer the Dark Lord, I texted Twitter. And I never really directly heard from anyone other than Ken who saw it, but I'm sure some people did. So
to recap, I text Carrie to tell her the super secret news. Hey, Schaefer the Dark Lord is going to be performing at MarsCon. She texts back, oh yeah, I'm so excited. Is it okay if I tell just Ken? So I respond, sure, you can text just Ken. She then proceeds to tell Twitter and everyone reading publicly that Schaefer the Dark Lord is going to be, you know, so basically it took that whole me being the, you know, co-chair, releasing the big surprise news to everyone, just took all the wind out of that sail.
Oh, get off your high horse.
I will remain on this high horse because the altitude serves me well.
Yeah,
I am Kenny and I will tweet things no matter what they are to people, and no one is allowed to be mad at me about it.
Is that the official Royal Carey voice?
Yes, that's the Royal Carey voice, of which Bill referred to.
It should be a little more high-pitched.
It could be a little more high-pitched.
Yeah.
I will determine the pitch of the voice of the impersonation of me. If I'm going to be mocked, I shall be mocked properly.
Do you have any other examples of something you texted that you shouldn't have? Because if you don't, I can think of one.
Well, the weird opposite thing happened to me. Mer Lafferty was trying to respond to one of my tweets, and instead of responding it publicly like she intended to, she sent it as a direct message.
Oh. Well, you know, that's which not is, such you know, a big infraction.
I don't know, the thing that's, I don't know if it's necessarily a specific text message thing, but there's certain, it's like that whole thing with Twitter and celebrities, and you're supposed to follow them, and it's supposed to be all unique and interesting, but some celebrities just, like, Twitter constantly, all the time, and it's never, like, interesting or cool, you know, so it's like, you feel bad, like, oh, I don't want to unfollow this celebrity because I am a devoted fan of theirs. Like, a good celebrity, you know, not to go with the obvious choice, is Weird Al. Because, you know, at Al Yankovic, he doesn't post all the time. But when he does post, it's usually something funny or something informative about him or whatever.
Actually, the only celebrity actually coming to my handset right now is Neil Patrick Harris. But he was really funny when he started, but I haven't seen that many funny tweets from him anymore. I mean, he's just kind of constantly plugging things. So I'm probably going to have him off my handset as well.
Yeah. In the mid-range level, Paul and Storm, they tweet a lot, but they're usually pretty interesting. Only once in a while am I like, okay, give it a rest, guys.
Yeah, they're not coming to my handset. a good one to follow if you like MST3K, Michael J. Nelson. He's I believe it's at Michael J. Nelson, all one word. And he's pretty hilarious, but he's also not coming on my handset. So, yeah, there was a time when I was casually dating a certain chubby blonde singer guy many years back, but he was also casually dating another woman that he had a nickname for, and then he texted me and used the special nickname. So, yeah, Luke has done things like that, too.
Okay.
And women never forget.
No. We will not forget this thing at all.
We're making things red. Okay, Arkel says, the thing about my podcast that people need to understand before they listen to it is that my show has succeeded in spite of itself. I'm sort of like the Tom Waits of podcasting. I get away with a level of sound quality that, frankly, if any other podcaster, especially one of the established ones like Merle Lafferty or J.C. Hutchins, had their stuff, would not be as popular as they are. Actually, it might be more accurate to call Geek of All Trades the Velvet Underground of podcasts. Only about 200 people listen to my show. Hey, it's more listeners than we got. But nearly every single one of them has successful podcasts of their own. Or maybe I should stop trying to come up with nicknames for myself or my show, since my efforts to get people to call me the Anthony Michael Hall of podcasting never went anywhere. It certainly didn't help that even I'm not sure what that means. Neither am I.
Yes. All right. Odd Austin says, cool review of Nerd Songs. Might you be interested in reviewing my second CD whenever it may be released? Please don't review the first one. I know it's, for the most part, not very good. How about I'll review your second CD right now? Odd Austin's second CD is an amazing album full of things that will make your ears say, I can't believe this thing that I'm hearing. My soul has been incredibly altered, and life will never be the same way again after listening to the second album released by Odd Austin.
And in spite of the fact that it doesn't exist, you should buy it immediately. All right. Jared says, and I believe this is Jared.
Oh, wait, no, I have to say one more thing.
Oh, okay.
Odd Austin also posted a link to somebody took that Smirnoff commercial I was complaining about and, like, re-edited it to look like kind of like The Shining, like some kind of bizarre, freaky, thing like that, and he posted a link to the YouTube thing.
Oh, I didn't.
But, another thing I have to say about that. Upon looking at that, I noticed that Smirnoff itself has a YouTube channel and has their commercials posted. So I went and watched. Apparently, all the versions of that commercial that I complained about that I've been seeing must be, like, the 15-second version of the commercial, because I saw the 30-second version of the commercial, and in the 30-second version, you see somebody carrying in DJ turntables into that building. But they cut that out of the 15-second version. That is pretty much the only version I had seen up until I saw that YouTube thing. So now it's
slightly validated.
Now it slightly makes sense, maybe because, like, there's a DJ in there and it's a dance. Okay, fine, and you got your lights, whatever. But to they couldn't even have put in for a half split second into the 15-second version turntable, so it'd be like, it's a dance. So anyway, yeah.
Jared Ringgold says, Luke.
No. Wait.
I'm still not allowed to speak?
I just wanted to make sure. Oh, wait, J-A-R-E-D? Yes, that
I'm
is Jared
Ringgold.
I'm
sure that was, because I followed the links he had, and he had, like, a little picture.
All right, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Jared Ringgold says, Luke, your Patton Oswalt story was great. Way to seize your moment. Carrie, check out the Modern Ruins posted on io9.com. See comments if you want to see the link. For great images of the modern world in decay. Make sure to click through to the original galleries if they are present. And I did look at what pictures that I could, and they were neat-tastic, but I couldn't find the original galleries. New season of Life After People starts January 5th. I haven't seen it yet, but I should have it. T-bowed.
Okay, Insane Ian says, hey again, guys. Thanks so much for your review of my CD. It means a lot to me that you guys did that. I appreciate everything you said about it, and hopefully my next tracks will be a bit stronger vocally. You guys have been great friends and mentors, and I hope to someday be truly able to call you colleagues. For now, I'm happy to do my shtick on the sideshow. Minor correction, my mom didn't write The Captain and Miss Piggy. It was written by Nancy White, but my mom's group, the Omicron SETI 3, were the act known for performing it. And I wasn't sitting next to Asimov, I was six, I was backstage watching him not just laugh, but sing along. It was at one of the big New York conventions when Trek fandom was in its prime. I love the fact that this episode is titled "It Was Isaac Asimov" and that it's number 007, as my last name is Bond, after all. Thanks again for the great review, and I'll see you at MarsCon. Hopefully not via bus this time.
I hope not.
Yes.
Ken, Madman on the Loose, says, I wish I could have gone to the Patton Oswalt show. Sounds like a fun evening. I wish I could have as well, but I was in Minnesota. I believe Luke might have been dreaming about a video game, the type of video game that kids should not be allowed to play. Great show.
Okay, now here's a voice message for Carrie to hear. Put your headphones on.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
1-877 Cars for Kids. K-A-R-S Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. So get your cars today.
It's donate your cars today, Aaron. And I'm now wishing that corporal punishment was allowed in Illinois. Ken goes on to say, while listening to that cast, my daughter stated the song is called 1-877 Cars for Kids and that she can't stand it either. Yet she sang it for us.
Yes. Crazy St. Louis Fangirl says, great episode. It was great to hear that version of You Don't Know Jack. When I reformatted my computer last, it survived and Luke's version disappeared. Love Sarah's story. I laughed myself to tears. Perhaps he was dreaming about flying in the Enterprise shooting Klingons.
And I was playing that podcast for Josh in the car yesterday morning, and I was saddened to learn that he had already heard that story from Matt, but it's not Matt's fault because Josh, like, insisted on finding out about it. So Danny says, I'm not anyone you've met, just a fan. Okay, well, we virtually met you now, though. So.
And you had said on the Bad Rapport podcast that we are genuinely interested in finding out if anybody listening to this podcast are people that you and I don't know personally, either from having met and worked together or just from knowing each other on the internet a lot. Like, if there's anyone out there who's essentially, you know, a stranger to us, like, we don't know you, but you're listening to our show every week, we would like to have you just say, hey, I'm a guy or a girl you don't know, just so that we can know that there's a few people out there who aren't, like, you know,
our fans,
you know, our moms,
our friends, or, yeah.
So, actually, my family doesn't listen to my podcast, but, you know.
I hope mine doesn't. Actually, my dad did listen to parts of it.
He's a fan on Facebook.
Yes. But what I was trying to say is, yes, if you just randomly found us, please, we'll give you a shout-out, we'll give you a plug, we'll not read your email if you don't want us to, any, you know, whatever the case may be. I'm, you know, you're randomly listening, you're maybe not going to continue listening. I'm just curious to know if anyone such as that is out there. Okay, yes. Moving on.
Okay, Pooh Bear, a.k.a. Tim Winslow, says, what an awesome way to kill the 1.5 plus hours of me sitting at work on New Year's Day. These long days become much shorter because of this. The Luke dreaming reminded me of Gurr from Invader Zim.
Yeah, that's a good point. Captain Nova says, Taco! Hey, you guys! I love the show, especially the part with Sarah talking about Luke's embarrassing moment. Speaking of Luke's embarrassing moment, I was thinking he was dreaming that he was back in his childhood playing with his Star Wars toys making laser noises.
Hold on a second, I gotta pull up a webpage here for a comment after this one. Okay. Next is from Pants. Pants.
Sing all the praises of Pants.
Indeed. Pants says, hey, Luke and Carrie, fine show again, though it needs more burping, totally throwing off the LNCBR drinking game, a way to help a comedian get some laughs. I would like to guess that Luke was dreaming about a space opera about a galactic civil war fought in rocket ships and laser guns a la 1952, starring Buster Crabbe, Flash Gordon, Earl Hammond, Buck Rogers, and music composed by Jerry Goldsmith.
I didn't know Pants was old enough to know any of those shows.
Yes. Okay, I think I need to read the next one.
Okay.
Because I need... Actually, let's switch chairs.
Okay. Is that important?
Well, yeah, because at a certain point, I'm going to want you to look at the computer screen.
I want my water, bitch.
Water, bitch, is the name of my Earth, Wind, and Fire coming band. All right. This is a comment, our first comment from Bad Pod Rapport of Destiny Part 2. And by the way, if you missed that or whatever, you feel free to make more comments on that episode as well as this one, and we'll read them in the next episode. So,
am I supposed to be looking at something specific?
I'll tell you when.
Okay.
Luke, you aren't crazy, or at least we have experienced the same delusion. Oh, by the way, this is from Sean Ennis. You were thinking of By and By, produced by Inside Out, where they were selling the Iron Whirligig, a clockwork toy that did nothing, but came complete with disembodied Ken and Barbie heads spinning on rods. See website for screenshots. This format of leaving a question at the end of the episode may have inspired Canadian Standard, The Kids of Degrassi Street, was spun off Degrassi Junior High, Degrassi High, a TV movie, and recently, I kid you not, Degrassi The Next Generation. 99.94% of these ended in a what would you do moment, most of which weren't nearly as lame. Okay. This is the part. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you remember listening to this from the episode?
No.
Okay, well, long story short, when I was a kid in grade school, in like fourth grade, we had to watch this film or video or something about this these two boys who wanted to, one was saving up for a bike, but then like this new wacky toy came out that everyone had to have, and like the whole thing was like, should I do the responsible thing and save it for my bike, or should I get this, you know, instant gratification thing that's new and shiny, you know, what choice should I make, and then it just ends like Kathy, Why Don't You Eat Breakfast, where it's like, you know, you don't find out what the kid does, and the class discusses it. So the thing that blew me away was this toy, and it bugged me. So here's from rickstv.com. I'll read this while Carrie looks at the pictures.
Okay, I'm looking now.
By and By, a fantastic toy is advertised during the Captain Selmore Show, a daily variety program, and two brothers obsessed with trying to be the first in their block to get it. But when they have to use their own money, they learn the true value of really wanting something. Detailed images of the Iron Whirligig below. I have no idea what this is. For 25 years, I wondered. I think the makers of the show were on acid when they made this bizarre and strange toy. Chopped heads of dolls, Christmas lights, bells, rubber bands, things spinning around. Also very strange. I could never understand why the boys were so obsessed with getting an Iron Whirligig. But I suppose Captain Selmore and his cast of puppets can manipulate their audience quite easily.
Okay. That's pretty bizarre. You guys should check these pictures out.
Yeah, so we'll put the link on the comments of the page, so go to badreport.com. But if you're really that slick, it's rickstv.com/tvo/insideout.html.
That's so cool.
Basically,
it's like covered in stained glass on the bottom.
Yeah.
Randomly.
Now, kind of scan down the page a little more, Carrie.
Yeah, I looked at all of them.
Okay, now keep going down to the one. Okay, the very last one, the guy Captain Selmore there, he looks like Q from Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Oh.
It looks like John DeLancey, so it's just kind of like he's trying to hypnotize us with his brain powers to, like, avoid, you know, or to try to, you know, mesmerize us into buying this, like, oh, look at this, it does nothing, it just kind of sits and has spinny parts and has lights.
Yeah.
There's no practical purpose to this toy. Why would anyone want to buy that over a bicycle? It makes no sense. It's been, and just like the person from rickstv.com, I'm assuming his name is Rick, for 25 years, I mean, I've been wondering why anyone would want that. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's, now we switch back.
Switching chairs today. Oh, God. You can tell from that song is now in my head. Thanks, Aaron.
Okay, so
now what? Do I get to
this,
read something?
Yeah, you can read. Wait, are these
my
your,
scripts over there?
Your scripts over here.
Hand it to me.
So go to the next one. You can read the one from Brad Carter. That's a comment from a previous episode that I missed.
Brad Carter says, "Your review of Shape of the Dark Lord just forced me to buy his CD. That is great stuff, so thanks. Also, Luke, I've been playing some of your stuff on Cacti Radio. CactiRadio.com. Hope that's okay.
That's totally okay. All right, now we got some comments that were emailed from badreport.com.
Yay!
Badreport@gmail.com, excuse me. So yes, yet another way you can make a comment. Kyle Hudson says, "I just finished listening to episode 6. I admit I really only started getting to podcasts to get my News of the Stupid fix, but in the meantime I have enjoyed getting to know the two of you better. More than anything else, I was wondering if anyone else is as amused as I am by the fact that the author of The World is Made Of talks a lot about singing with the church choir. Keep up the good work, Kyle."
I'm an eclectic individual.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, Kyle.
Yes, we should point out that if you're looking for a podcast that's, it doesn't have News of the Stupid, but it's more along the format of like a 20-minute podcast that has like 4 funny music songs, you should check out the Dementia Radio podcast, which just started a couple, they're up to their, like, what, 6th or 7th episode now?
Something like that, and I'll be posting the next one, supposedly.
Oh, cool. So dementiaradio.org
has a bunch of guest hosts. Luke, yeah. Luke was a rather quiet guest host on the third episode.
Yeah. So for that news of this, or for that Manic Monday style of show, go check that out. And
yeah,
we will continue to try to do news of the stupid to the best of our ability.
Hell yeah. Matt Wandcow Wilson.
I think it's Matt Wandcow, like magic wand. Wandcow.
Matt Wandcow Wilson. Dear Luke and Carrie, I've really enjoyed your podcast just as I enjoy your music. I especially like hearing the background to some of the Fump songs. I have a few comments and suggestions and stuff, so here we go. Number one, my new favorite part of News of the Stupid is where Luke keeps punning and says, I can keep going, and Carrie says, don't. You should end News of the Stupid like this every time. It's awesome. Number two, what are you looking for in a comment? Do you want short, simple, here's a fact things? Do you want questions that inspire debate, pathos, and all that jazz, such as, what is so good about the Beatles? Or do you want praise and adulation? If it's way awesome, if I haven't already said. I'm into praise and adulation.
Me too.
I know you are. Number three, what's your top three favorite dementia or otherwise songs? Didn't know we were going
to... Why don't we save that as a future episode topic so we can think about it and then come back to it.
Okay. Number four, did Luke take any special schooling for caricaturing? Yes, see previous episode.
Yeah. Basically, I spent my whole life being a self-taught cartoonist, went to an art college, got a degree in illustration, spent a summer working at a theme park where I learned the specific caricature style, then broke out on my own as a freelance artist. So I did go to art school, but you don't have to go to art school to learn to be a caricature artist. You mainly just have to have some kind of drawing ability and go, you know, either study it on your own or go get a job at a theme park and they'll train you on the job.
Number five, that's probably about it for now. Thanks for eating away my hours. Matt Wancow. Pronounce Matt Wancow. A fan.
And number six, there is no! Comment six. Comment seven, now poof does.
We have one more.
Yes. What?
And you have to, you guys, give us some feedback. Let us know how, whether or not you like the comment section, because my personal opinion is that it's been very long because we had many comments.
I like the fact that the comments has gotten longer because it seems to be a good indicator to me.
Hi.
That that people are liking the show because they're giving us feedback and pretty much they're saying that they're liking the show.
Like if someone randomly tunes in and they're listening to like 20 minutes of us reading what other people said about us, it might get a little old. So just give us feedback and let us know what you think.
Carrie thinks the comments should be at the end of the show. I think they should be at the beginning of the show.
And I'm debating whether or not we should read all of them when we have lots of them like this.
We have to have content.
Well, we have content. We're 30 minutes into it and we haven't played our first song.
All right,
so we're going to play the voice comment.
And I just wanted to say, as far as Matt's question of what are we looking for in comments, we're looking for anything you want to throw our way. I mean, you know, if you want to praise us, great. If you want to criticize us, great. If you want to pose us questions that would give us interesting things to discuss, like you did, you know, we're all for that too, you know.
Just as long as you don't troll, then, you know.
Yeah.
Anything else is okay.
And okay, and now we have our final one is a voice comment from Blasted Bill Putt. I gotta put that back at the beginning again. Alright, here we go.
Luke and Carrie, it is Blasted Bill. I just finished listening to your last episode. I don't even know what the heck of an episode it was. It's the one before the one that we were all together. I'm bad with numbers, blah, blah, blah. So, anyways, I had an awesome time hanging out with all of you in Chicago. And it's always fun hanging out with the dementia crowd. It was, even though we were tired as crap, it was fun recording a podcast with you. And those should all be up by the time you listen to this, or by the time the listeners are listening to this. Anyways, I'm rambling. So, my theory on what Luke was dreaming about when he went, fuck you. My theory is, he was dreaming he was a kid back in the 80s playing Star Wars toys with his brothers. Because that's something I would dream about. And me and Luke grew up in the same time and have very similar interests in blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I'm rambling again. I'll talk to you guys later. Awesome show. The MCR song at the end was great. We will catch you the next time. Bye.
So please tell me you're going to read what Google Voice translated it to be, because that's hysterical.
Well, that would take up more time. Do you want me to?
I'll do it. Hey, Luke. Kenny, it is Blasted Bill. I just finished listening to your last episode. I don't know what I thought. I thought it was. Hi, this is the one before our the one that we are all together. I got the numbers, blah, blah, blah. So anyways, I had an awesome tightening up with all you in Chicago, and I was wondering how the magic route it was, you know, when retired as crap. I was going to have recording a podcast with you, and I was Robbie up by the time he was of this, or by the time, but there's a with us. Anyways, I'm rambling. Okay, so right. Mary on one of them was dreaming about what he went. Hello. My theory is that he was training. He was a kid back in the 80s. Planes was void with his brothers, because that's something I would be about. In Luke, ha ha ha, grew up in the same time and have very similar interested in blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I'm rambling again, so I'll talk to you guys later. Awesome show. Yes, you are, so I'll be in was great. We will catch you in the next time. Bye. That's what Google thought Bill said.
Here's what Google Voice thought Aaron was singing earlier.
Oh.
We're on a parents and concert K's J time tickets and mom they are and sticking year today.
Did they even get a single word right?
I don't think so. Today might be right.
Today, yeah. I think today is the only word that Google got right on Aaron's song. All right, yes. So 30 minutes into it, let's kick the first song.
All right,
so
open for debate, listeners. Should comments be at the beginning of the show or the end of the show?
And shortened or lengthened?
Yeah. So this is, I am about to play three short songs in a row, all by TV's Kyle, from his project called TV's Kyle Sings the Cartoons, which is a website, or part of his website, where basically it's a free album you can download at tvskyle.com, and he has been basically putting up, he started with five songs, cover versions of cartoon theme songs, and then he told people, hey, if you donate $10 to me at my website, you can put in a request for what the next song should be. So people have been doing that for the past several months, so that essentially it's building the album. There's more and more tracks you can download for free, and if there's a particular cartoon theme you want him to cover, just pay him $10 and he'll add that. I asked him to do the theme to the Alf animated series, and that's that
was
pretty
a big Alf fan.
Oh yes. But I picked the three that I consider to be the top three, and one of them is the newest one. So tvskyle.com for that, and here we go with those.
Super Team Extraordinaire, Freakazoid, Freakazoid, runs around in underwear, Freakazoid, Freakazoid, rescues Washington, D.C., Freakazoid, Freakazoid, unless something better's on TV, Freakazoid, Freakazoid, his brain's overloading, it has a chocolate coating, Facebook case for Sigmund Freud, Freakazoid, Freakazoid, check out Dexter Douglas, nerd computer ace. Went surfing on the internet and was zapped to cyberspace. He turned into the Freakazoid. He's strong and super quick. He drives his villains crazy, cause he's a lunatic. His home base is the Freakalair. Freakazoid, Freakazee. Floyd the Barber cuts his hair. Freakazoid, Chimpanzee. Rides around with a Freakmobile. Freakazoid, Freakazoo. Hopes to make a movie deal. Freakazee, Freakazoo. He's here to save the nation, so stay tuned to this station. If not, we'll be unemployed. Freakazoid, Freakazoid, Freakazoid! Go, Cassie, go!
Inspector Gadget. Inspector Gadget. Go, Gadget, go. Go, Gadget, go. Inspector Gadget.
Daring duck of mystery, champion of rhyme, swoops out of the shadows, dark wing of the night. Somewhere some villain schemes.
But his
number's up. Darkwing Duck.
When they're W, call me W.
Darkwing Duck.
Let's get his name.
Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing, Darkwing Duck.
Loud and spoken, he appears, master of surprise. Who's that cunning mind behind that shadowing disguise? Nobody knows for sure, but bad guys are out of luck. Darkwing Duck.
When they're W, call me W.
Yay!
After listening to that sampling, I'm trying to figure out what song I'm going to pay him to do for me.
I know, I already told him this, that I wanted to pay him to do another cartoon theme song, and that would be the aforementioned in another episode, Heathcliff and the Cadillac Cats.
Oh, they have to be cartoon themes?
Well, that's the idea.
Okay, but any cartoon?
Like, why? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm thinking of a couple of my favorites were girl cartoons.
Well, that's fine. You talk. I'll pull up his website. We can read what the other ones are that he's already done.
But right now, I'm thinking either Gem and the Holograms, which is a great theme, or
that would be great.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I'm kind of down with that. Okay, Kyle, I'm going to send you $10 if you can do Gem and the Holograms theme for me. I'm not that familiar with most of Kyle's music because for a long time I wasn't listening to the sideshow. And now that I am, I feel like I don't see him on there that often.
Well, TV's Kyle's an auxiliary member.
Yeah, that's right.
And he hasn't been posting these songs on... Whoops, goddammit.
There's just... let's just put it this way. There's such a glut of material on the FUMP and, you know, both the main page and the sideshow that, like, I get a little overwhelmed sometimes. So it's only now and then when a song really stands out to me lately. And, you know, if I had just heard that on the FUMP, that would definitely stand out to me.
Okay. TV's Kyle sings the cartoons. Tracks include Ulysses 31, Firewall from Reboot, Super Chicken, Chicken Boo, Sonic the Hedgehog, Pokemon Theme, Inspector Gadget, Freakazoid, Alf Animated, Captain Planet. Captain Planet is freaking hilarious. It's probably the longest one, and he did it in kind of a different direction than the rest of them, but I highly recommend listening to the Captain Planet one. Invader Zim, Danger Mouse, DuckTales, Gummy Bears, Back in Time, which was the theme to the Back to the Future animated series, and the most recent one being Darkwing Duck. So, yeah. Like I said, I want Heathcliff and the Cadillac Cats. Carrie wants Gem and the Holograms.
Yeah, and Kyle, I don't know if you... Does Kyle listen?
Yeah, I think so.
Kyle, if you're out there, yeah, if you want to feature me in that song, you can. If your vision doesn't include me, that's fine too. But Gem and the Holograms.
So there's a donate button at the website at tvskyleband.com, and there's a link there. It's tvskyleband.com/singsthecartoons.html.
Leave that tab open because I might do that before I leave. Otherwise, I'll never get around to it.
All right.
Because I have a very, very, very busy week. So, what's next on our thing? Oh, I see what's next. Let's do it with that thing.
Oh, you mean this thing, the one that just made a weird buzz? Oh, I got to say another comment that I had missed. Captain Nova made a comment recently for dating all the way back to episode 1, where he said, "When you called Madman, I have to say, Carrie, get out of my head."
Okay.
So
I'm not sure what he's referring to.
He's referring to, I think, when you called Ken and you were like, he's masturbating or something like that. I think she's referring to that. So speaking of calling Ken.
Oh my God. I just got a text message from Josh, who's in the sky.
Oh my God.
Hey, wait a second. Can I call you there? Question mark. Okay, well, meanwhile we'll, hello, let's call Ken. Is that a good version of the song?
Whatever.
Fuck you.
35 crackers is 1 point, that's all I'm saying.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, you're on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm just sitting at home watching South Park.
Ah.
I just got a text message.
I have plenty of time to talk to you.
I just got a text message from my husband who's in an airplane. He got a Wi-Fi or something in the airplane that he's allowed to use, and he's sending me text messages. That's like.
I'm glad to hear. So his flight is on time and everything's okay with it?
Yeah, well, he's texting me, and he's not texting me, you know, we're all going to die, so I'm assuming everything's fine.
That's good.
So now that we've got you on the line, instead of having you talk, we're going to make you listen. So this came to me while I was trying to wake up to get to church on Sunday morning, and I wrote this. It's called... 5 stages of alarm clock grief. Denial. Okay. It can't be time to wake up. It's still dark out. Anger. Why in the fuck do I need to get up this early? Bargaining. I can reset the alarm for 30 minutes from now, then go to work without showering. I'm sure my coworkers won't mind. Depression. If I need to go to work this sleep deprived, I'm going to gently slide an ice pick down my ear. And finally, the acceptance speech. You want me to wake up. You really want me to wake up. And that's that. I wrote that. So
that is pretty accurate. I get all of them myself, especially this time of year.
So I thought that was a bit of amusement or a bit of boring, depending on who you are. So what's up with you, Ken?
Well, not... nothing much. I'm just, like I said, I'm just hanging out, well, just enjoying our evening at home.
Was I supposed to warn you that we were going to do this?
Well, I knew you guys were going to be calling. I knew you guys were going to be recording this. Isn't this a special episode, or was that the one from New Year's Eve?
Yeah,
New Year's Day, I should say.
This is not a special episode. We're just doing a regular episode.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because I was almost positive. I wasn't even sure if Matt was going to have gaming night tonight, so I thought there might have been a gaming night tonight, but since there isn't, my evening's free.
Oh, okay. Well, well, in any case, and Luke, you got anything to say to the magical Ken?
Ken, I used the Best Buy gift card you gave me for Christmas to purchase my own actual bona fide copy of Patton Oswalt's album, My Weakness is Strong. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, that is cool. And also, I heard that Sarah is actually. I hear things are going pretty good with the Mars with the fundraiser CD.
Yeah, but we're going to save that for later in the show.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give it away.
It's okay. It's a teaser for later.
So I guess okay. I guess we'll let you go then.
All right, no problem. Have a great rest of the show.
See all you right. Saturday.
Yep, see. Oh, that's right. See you Saturday.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah, we have things to talk about. Bye.
Bye. So that would be
that's another teaser. We've got things to talk about. I don't know what he means either.
Well, alrighty then. So now we're going to play another song, and the story behind this song, it's a song that Carrie and I sing, but neither one of us wrote it. It was written by a gentleman by the name of Spaff, who also wrote the song that was the number one song of the year this year on the Dr. Demento Show, Save Me Obama, which was sung by Robert Lund.
Yay.
Me and Carrie met Spaff back at Con the Cob, like met him in person.
2007.
Yeah, yep. For the first time in person. And he told us there that he had an idea for a song parody he was writing for her and I to sing. And we're like, that's cool. And we got it. And it was a parody of the Donnie and Marie song, a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll, and it was just really bizarre. And I'm like, something in my brain said, I have to figure out a way to frame this song in some kind of context other than having it just by itself. So I immediately got this idea to do a whole kind of, you know, 70s variety show thing that I called Fump In. And we managed to talk Bob Emmett from Project Sisyphus into doing the music and a bunch of music stings. And those music stings, the intro and outro, are the theme song to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport that you hear at the beginning and the end of each show.
Yep.
Based on Carrie's Everything's a Song. So we thought it would be appropriate, for lack of anything more appropriate to play, to play that song from that bit. If you want to hear the full length version of the bit with the full sketch, that would be on the Fump. Look for Project Sisyphus for a Middle East country
on thefump.com.
Yeah, and it's on my album Target Audience, the full length version bisected by a track point, and just this song by itself is on Carrie's album Giant Kitten.
Yep.
So yeah. So here is the song as written by Spaff. So here we go.
Yay! I'm a Middle East country.
I'm a Middle Earth mountain troll.
I've got sunshine, deserts, and burkas.
I'm horrific, but my wits are kind of dull.
My name is something Stan.
I swallow hobbits whole.
I'm a Middle East country.
I'm a Middle Earth mountain troll.
I'm a little explosive.
I put dwarves on my Quaker oats.
I'm a little ultra religious.
I'm a little bit gruff with billy goats.
I'm disconcertingly real.
I might be fictional. I'm a Middle Earth mountain troll.
I offer camel sand and Muslims and crude oil and rich supply.
If I stay out till the sun comes up, then I turn to stone and die.
I'm moving slowly to secular control.
I bash those freaking wood elves with a club like a whack-a-mole. Like me, you're poor as dirt.
Or rolling in the dough. I'm a Middle East country.
I'm a Middle Earth mountain troll.
I may have mostly flat topography, but my crescent is fertile.
I got a job at Hot Dwarf on a Stick, just to dress in style.
My people love me by reflex or by.
I barbecued my in-laws, so my wife filed for divorce.
I'm arid and I'm extra dry.
Not me, I've got B.O.
I'm a Middle East country.
I'm a Middle Earth.
Gone take you all and be stoned.
Who was that?
My ex.
Oh.
You're a Middle East country. And I'm a Middle Earth mountain troll.
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spice, is at devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess we're stupid to prove it innocent, cause I'm making soda easy to incriminate. Can we incarcerate?
What does the CVS in CVS Pharmacy stand for? Criminals Very Stupid. Police in Indianapolis broke up a CVS drugstore robbery before the suspect was able to leave the store. A suspect armed with a garden hose nozzle. Dustin Abney, 27, approached an employee who was taking a smoking break outside the store, announced he was going to rob the store, and asked the employee if he wanted any money or pills. The employee went inside and called 911. Abney returned to the store a few minutes later with his hand in his sweatshirt pocket, presumably to make the garden hose nozzle appear as if it were a gun, and then ordered a store worker to the pharmacy counter and pulled out a list of prescription drugs he wanted. Police arrived before he could leave the store. I guess his plan was to tell the police if he got caught that he wasn't there to rob the place, but a gardener there to water the ivy on the outside of the building. Yes, he was there for the Walgreens. The arresting officer was Osco P. Coltrane. Yes, a water nozzle instead of a gun. He didn't have the right aid. I could keep going.
Don't. A marijuana grower thought his small crop was being held for ransom after a suspicious note was left in place of his plants. The note read, "Thanks for the grow. You want them back? Call for the price. We'll talk." Indeed, Stephen Allen Lacazio, 48, did call, and with $200 in hand, went to meet up with his pot napper, who turned out to be detectives from the Monroe County Sheriff's Office. It's a good thing this sting operation worked. The previous attempts to arrest Stephen were unsuccessful. Who is it?
Stephen, this is Officer Dave of the Monroe County Sheriff's Department, and we'd like to take a look at your apartment.
Dave's not here!
No, I am Officer Dave. I need you to let me in, sir.
Who is it?
Officer Dave.
Dave?
Yes, Officer Dave.
Dave's not here. And scene.
Two burglary suspects fleeing Sacramento County Sheriff's deputies headed for the Foothill High School campus to ditch their pursuers. They ran onto the football field, where they encountered a football team made entirely out of cops. They were practicing there for the upcoming Pig Bowl, where they would be facing a rival team of firefighters. The pigs ditched the pigskin and joined the chase, their defensive line eventually dogpiling 19-year-old James Hill Jr. just off the field. Their offensive line chased down and tackled the other suspect, a 17-year-old boy.
Penalty, being a dumbass. 10 years. Police. First down. 33-year-old Joseph Stancato of Denver faces second-degree assault charges after a New Year's Eve altercation at a bus stop where he hit another man upside the head with his banjo. Stancato would face prison time since the banjo is considered to be a deadly weapon under Colorado law. But we all know that. Haven't you heard of dueling banjos?
And finally, a man's penis was freed from a metal pipe with an industrial grinder. A man who got his penis stuck in a steel pipe had to be cut free by firefighters using a metal grinder after doctors in casualty could not free his genitals from their metal trap.
Carrie, I need to stop you there. We've already done this story back in episode 1.
No, this is a new story. It happened again to some other idiot man.
Well, we don't really need to hear it, do we? I mean...
The only way you men are going to learn not to stick your penises in places they don't belong is for me to keep reading these types of stories until you stop.
Oh, God.
Okay, medics at Southampton General Hospital struggled to get the man's penis out of the stainless steel pipe because the restricted blood flow had caused it to become erect. Instead, they called in Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service. The fire crew turned up with a special equipment unit from St. Mary's Station in Southampton and 7 firefighters to help in what a spokesman understatedly described as a delicate operation.
Oh, be careful! Ow!
The firefighters used the 4.5-inch industrial metal grinder to cut the pipe from around the anesthetized man's penis.
Oh, the needles! Oh!
The penis was left bruised and swollen, but otherwise unharmed by its traumatic day. The man, thought to be aged around 40, did not explain to hospital staff how exactly the pipe got stuck around his penis after he presented himself at the hospital's accident and emergency department on Tuesday morning.
It was an accident! I tripped and fell! Oh, God!
He said to be quite concerned and anxious.
Please help! Oh, God!
A Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service spokesman said, "It was a very delicate operation that required a very steady hand, and the crew was worried about things getting too hot during the cutting."
Oh, please don't burn up my yoinky! Oh!
It's certainly an unusual call-out, and I'm sure the man won't be getting into that situation again.
Wanna bet? Oh!
Watch manager Greg Garrett from the Red Bridge Fire Station told the Southampton Daily Echo, "I've only come across this type of thing 3 or 4 times in my 17 years as a firefighter. It's not a daily occurrence."
It's fortnightly! God, no.
Police, people are stupid, and once again, they are sticking their penises into things.
Squash!
This has been News of the Stupid.
And now the weather.
I had a frog in my throat the entire time.
Yeah, da 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 da. What the hell? Hey, hey, you draw them caricatures, don't you? Anyway, so we're going to talk about Avatar?
Briefly.
Okay, Avatar, they were blue and it was neat.
Yeah, it was neat. The story was really, like, simplistic, but it was really neat. You should see the 3D version.
We can commend Avatar for one really important thing. It knocked Transformers Revenge of the Fallen off of the top grossing movie of the year slot.
Yay!
So thank you, James Cameron, for robbing Michael Bay of some other thing he could claim.
Sorry, I kept bumping the mic there, peeps. So are we going to move on, or are we going to keep talking about Avatar?
It would be nice if we had some actual content instead of just content referring back to other episodes. For this episode, I'm sorry.
Who hasn't seen Avatar by now?
No, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. I put that on my list, and then I kind of realized, well, there's not much we can say that hasn't already been said about this. It's neat. It's 3D.
Did you do any caricatures of it yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, that would be a cool thing, a cartoon or caricature that you drew of that. Otherwise, I don't see what we can add to it.
Yeah. All right, so you said you had a thing for the what would we do if we had the time to?
I was going to pull something out of my ass while I listened to you talk. If I had time to, I would spend time practicing being a musician. I just got a new acoustic guitar for Christmas, and it's probably been a week since I've touched it. I'm supposed to touch it at least 10 minutes a day just to, like, get my calluses up and, like, just, you know... Like, it's better to do that than to pick it up an hour a week. But, I can't remember the last time I practiced piano or voice, and I never get to practice music. So if I had time, I would practice being a musician so that I could be a good musician instead of a somewhat decent musician. You?
I'm trying to think of yet another thing I would do. Well, I don't know. This may sound a bit cliche, and it's certainly not in the category of projects, but I think it would be neat to travel along the classic Route 66 from Chicago to L.A. and try to see as many of the old-timey, kitschy things, you know.
Yeah, add that to my list as well.
Yeah.
We should go together and do an episode from there.
Can we bring Sarah and Stephanie?
Josh?
Sure.
Rent a van.
I'm jealous because Stephanie's going to Disney World with Thor for 7 days.
I know. When I saw you tweeting about you being jealous of her, I thought you were going to mention Disney World and then instead
She has an awesome fish hat. Oh, my God.
I mean, Disney World fish hat. Disney World fish hat. I'd pick Disney
World. Well, yeah, but Disney World's been around for 30 years. The fish hat is new. This is a bitchin' fish hat.
I haven't seen the bitchin' fish hat. maybe the picture for this episode will be a caricature of us as Avatar with bitchin' fish hats. let's move on to our next song.
Okay.
Featuring the music guest of honor for MarsCon 2010.
MarsCon? I didn't expect us to bring up MarsCon at all during this episode.
Or maybe to say it in a more future-y sounding way, we should say MarsCon 2010.
Woo-hoo.
Here are we ready?
Yes.
The Nick Adams.
Yay!
Not a man barely alive, would he live or not? Both his legs and his arm were broken, so the doctor started working. Rudy worked straight through the night, used by Alex to fix his sight. And everything's gonna be alright, and the only man who could ever save me was a $6 million man. The only man who could bend a steel beam was a $6 million man. Yes, he went. Oscar Goldman gave Jason Lou to go out and buy a red jumpsuit. He ran 60 miles an hour. Women sighed and villains cowered. Mascotron could change his face. He put an end to the Bigfoot case. And the only man who could jump a brick wall
was a $6 million man. The only man who could raise his eyebrow was a $6 million man. As he went, he went. Summer's died. Now we're sitting all alone. Oscar called him on the phone. He said the Venus face from his conversation. So dry real like a back to work. And the only man who defied all reason was a $6 million man. He wore a mustache for one season. He's a $6 million man. The only man who can save the world was a $6 million man. The only man who always got the girl was a $6 million man. You see, he went, he went.
And there you have it. The Nick Adams will be performing their reunion slash farewell concert Friday night at MarsCon 2010.
Still texting my husband in an airplane, which I'm fascinated with. I like technology sometimes. I told him that Luke is currently wearing a Chipotle t-shirt, so you get to know what Luke is wearing for once.
Yes.
And I told him I needed to get him one because my husband Josh loves Chipotle just as much as Luke does. And then he said, like, angry frowny face, "Yes, I want one now, please," or PLZ. So, Josh, I'm sorry I can't deliver a Chipotle t-shirt to you while you're at 30,000 feet, but, you know, I totally wouldn't if I could.
He's inside a big metal cylinder, and Chipotle burritos are, like, cylindrical and covered with metal. So it's all a part of the circle of life.
So 9 weeks from now when he hears this, he'll laugh at that. Anyways, what's Luke plugging now?
Thank you, Carrie. I'm plugging DayQuil. No, I'm plugging the MarsCon, the MarsCon 2010 Dimetrotrack fundraiser CD and MP3 set. I got to tell you,
as Ken teased for us earlier.
Yeah, actually, let me. I want to do something silly. The overall point is that.
He's typing in the
thing. Is that
he's looking for a thing.
This would be helpful if you weren't saying that.
Well, would you rather have silence?
Basically, okay, I have been talking about, as you've heard if you've been listening to the show regularly, the Dimetrotrack fundraiser, you know, for MarsCon, how we're doing this to raise the money to help pay for, number one, the two tables that we get for Table 27 to sell the merch. We actually have to purchase those as if we were dealers in the dealer's room. So that is a cost that has to come from somewhere. There's also the badges for the six volunteers of that table who are going to be running it all weekend, so the artists don't have to worry about selling their own stuff. So, you know, there's a cost for those badges. And there's the cost for all the hotel rooms for all the artists coming in from out of town. I kind of went crazy inviting acts this year. Next year I will have to invite less acts. Because it's just...
acts with longer stage shows, potentially.
Anyway,
everybody comes from far away, so you know, maybe.
I don't know. I'll save that dilemma for next year. But for right now, the main issue was raising a high amount of money, the highest amount of money we ever had to raise to make sure we had everything covered. And I had been talking about it, like, you know, since I announced these things back in November. I've been saying, you know, for 3 months now, 2-3 months, like, please, you know, purchase these things. It's make a great Christmas gift. Blah blah blah. And we basically only made about 10% of the money we had needed to make as of about a week or so ago, and this was really kind of panicking me because I didn't know what we were going to do. And like I said, every podcast, every, you know, pretty much every email update I sent, I was always saying, please buy these things. Sarah, who is managing the website and the money for the fundraiser, went online and said, "Okay, everybody, this is Sarah. You all need to purchase this fundraiser, because if we don't get to at least the 2/3 mark by January 15th, we're going to have to tell the artists that they have to pay for their own rooms, which means a lot of them are going to back out." At which point, a huge barrage of not only CD and MP3 purchases, but donations of various kinds have basically pushed us to the point where, you know, we are so close to hitting not just the two-thirds mark. We've surpassed the two-thirds mark. We're near hitting the main top goal. And that was done in, you know, less than a week because Sarah got on the horn and said something.
Yeah.
So when Sarah talks, people listen. And when I talk, people hear this.
I don't like coffee. It makes me jittery. Here's an impression of me on coffee. I've had some coffee. Hey, what are you doing? 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 I don't know what you're doing because I've had too much coffee. I don't know. Don't drink too much coffee, kid.
So that gives you a good idea of about how much the great Luke Ski, you know, how much my voice and my you know, how much what I say matters to people. Hey, buy this thing. Hey, buy this thing. Hey, buy this thing. Sarah walks in. Hey, buy this thing. Oh, shit, we better buy this thing!
Well, so, you plug so frequently.
It's that white noise. It's
exactly
freaking
what I was gonna
white
say.
Noise. Nobody listens to a damn thing I say.
Well, maybe,
and yet I have a podcast that people listen to and seem to like.
Well, maybe,
what's up with that?
Maybe I'll read the next segment. Are we done with the MarsCon deal?
Other than to say there are other costs that myself and Sarah have been picking up, as in the printing of the CDs themselves and postage. So even if we, you know, hit that goal, we still need to kind of reimburse me and Sarah. So so as much as it – actually, Carrie, you tell them to buy it. If I say it, it doesn't matter or anything.
Buy the MarsCon 2010 Dementia Track fundraiser CD / MP3 set. Please. We still need you to buy it even if you unless you already have.
Yeah, Sarah decided – or Sarah and I decided it was her idea to – we're going to make some little programs for the MarsCon Dementia Track so that, you know, it'll have like the schedule and stuff. Because on there, we want to make sure to list people who donated like above and way above and beyond the call of duty. Some people really took a big chunk out of this. So we want to make sure to acknowledge them when the time comes. You know?
Okay. Well, so, make sure they want to be acknowledged because lots of people like to donate anonymously.
All right.
What's at the Fump? What's at the Fump? What's at the Fump?
More cowbell.
Raymond and Scum, Degrade Me, Marsha Brady, Consortium of Genius, Zombie Apocalypse Barbecue, which is a good song that I have a cameo so tiny in that even I can't hear it. Lemon Demon, Elvis Porn, live version, Robert Lund, 10'2", Skin of Blue, about the aforementioned Avatar, Steve Goody, Divorcing the Kids, Tom Smith, Bacon, John Denver as a Mofo version, as we played on our last full show, Steve Goody, The 12 Signs of Swine Flu, and Nuclear Bubble Wrap Lesbian.
All right, and I was going to look that up, and I didn't. Oh, well. I'll just mention the Mad Music Dementia Top 20, Top 50 of 2009 came out, and I apparently was like the number one artist. Not the number one song position, but I had like the most songs overall on the thing. I think the highest ranking one was the Dada Slide, which came in at number 4. And I posted about it on my live journal, and I was going to look that up, and I forgot to. But
did you have anything on there?
Yes, you did.
Oh,
Stupidest Charge was on there.
Nice.
There were other things by you on there.
Nice.
I can't remember what they are, though.
Where will you be appearing, Luke?
I'll be appearing at VisionCon 2010, visioncon.net. It's in Springfield, Missouri, January 22nd through 24th, 2010, along with the hilarious and awesome Willy's Wenches. I'm looking forward to that. If you need caricatures, blah, 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 you're not listening anyway, artbylukeski.com. Free MP3 of the week at lukeski.com is Rocky Horror. And here's a big chunk of news. Battlestar Rhapsody, I mentioned it last time, has gone viral. It's gone way viral. Just this past day, it has passed the 100,000 views on YouTube.
And that kicks ass.
Yeah. So
that's one of the coolest songs I've been involved with in the last couple of years.
Yes. 100,000 people have listened to Battlestar Rhapsody now, probably making it my most listened to song ever, I mean, unless you want to count. I don't know how you can quantify the numbers of people who were listening to Dr. Demento back when, like, Stealing in the Hobbit was getting weekly airplay.
Yeah.
But so that, you know, in that sense, though, you know, that and Peter Parker and some others might have technically have been more. But this is the first time I can say, like, oh, look, that computer screen is giving me a number that says 101,000-something people
or
have heard the song.
101,000-something views.
And, oops, what am I putting that up there for?
I don't know.
Initially, it didn't really, like, spawn anything as far as like making money goes. I sold like a couple MP3s at the Fump, and somebody bought a copy of Target Audience. And then suddenly, like within a few days of each other, two different people went to my website and bought the download versions of like all eight of my albums.
And if they love you that much, they might be listening right now.
So yes, if you were those people, thank you. I actually sent them each a thank you email.
Sweet.
So yeah, because that was pretty freaking cool. So yeah, so that is what I'm plugging now. It's time to move on to Weight Watch.
What's the theme song for that? I forgot. It's like,
Weight Watch! And two. And three. Six more. I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm down 20 pounds. I demand a toilet paper related parade right now. I want toilet paper, bits of toilet paper in the air. So he throws a dirty rag in my face.
It was handy.
Bitch. So,
that is a great accomplishment.
My weight loss adventures have taken me halfway to my goal, and I've lost all but 5 pounds of the weight I put on since I started taking insulin in April of 2007. And that's all I have to say about that, other than I swear by Weight Watchers now. And I can't talk about that one podcast that I refuse to name because there hasn't been any new ones.
Ah. Sarah was showing me some websites that helped you calculate the various Weight Watchers points for foods, and I discovered...
What do you mean, calories?
Well, calories and points. We were kind of going back and forth. But there was one that had, like, Chipotle, like the various things you can get at Chipotle, and showing, like, how many grams of fat this and that is. And I basically discovered that if I eliminated putting cheese and sour cream on the burrito I usually get, it basically cuts the grams of fat in it in half.
Wow.
So the other day when I went to Chipotle, I did that. So I'm going to be making...
And did you even notice it was gone?
Not too badly.
I noticed that when I got a salad there one time after we did the podcast, I didn't get sour cream and cheese on, but I did get some guac, some of which I threw off because they threw a ton of it on there. But
yeah.
I noticed I literally didn't miss the cheese or the sour cream at all.
Yeah, and in the rare situations when I'm actually sitting down to eat in a Chipotle as opposed to getting a burrito and eating it in the car while I'm driving somewhere, if I get a bowl instead of wrapped up in the tortilla shell, that cuts the grams of fat even more. So
sweet.
So for all you Chipotle eaters like Josh, eliminate the cheese and the sour cream.
You're
and
lactose
also
intolerant anyway, Josh. Just eliminate it. You won't miss
yes,
it.
Yes, and if you're sitting down and not driving, also eliminating the thing and getting it in a bowl.
If you want something sloppy and slimy on there, have them put a little bit of guac. Yes, it's extra, but it's much, much, much less fattening. So, what's next?
Carrie's wearing a color.
The shade of pink I'm wearing is probably a repeat. It's a very pale pink, but I'm wearing the most expensive t-shirt I've ever purchased. It is a Steely Dan t-shirt that I got at their concert probably 2.5 years ago, and now Luke is going to read everything that's on the t-shirt to you. It's easier for him to see.
Well flocked, any major dude or showbiz kids will tell you this is the official Steely Dan t-shirt. Old school, 100% true, authorized, El Supremo outrageous.
So, the two or maybe three Steely Dan geeks that are listening will appreciate that, and unfortunately, the last two times I saw their concert, there wasn't any t-shirts that, were girly enough to be worthy of getting. But if anyone wants to be the biggest Carrie Dalby super fan of all time, you will go out and find me a medium or large version of their t-shirt from 2003, which was a pink t-shirt with the Steely Dan logo in rainbow colors on it. If there's anything I fucking love, it's pink things with rainbows on them. So anyone who goes out and finds me one of those on eBay or what have you, because I have one, but it's all like cracked and messed up looking. If anyone finds me a new looking one and gives it to me, you will be the biggest Carrie Dalby super fan of all time, and I will acknowledge you in every show from now on.
Yes.
I still don't think it's going to happen, but I can just put that out there.
And now it's time for True Tales of Ignorance. Carrie, you go first with your story of the Chicagoland Public Transit.
Oh, okay. How come me go first?
Because I want to.
It has been decreed.
Yeah.
Or is it because you're coughing? So this is a two-part story. One, I'm gonna go with it was about a year and a half ago. I get on the bus, and I have to try to explain the layout a little bit, but on the Pace bus that I take from Rosemont Station to get to where I work, there are different levels of seats. Some seats are really low to the ground, and some seats are really, really high up to where someone like Luke, his feet wouldn't even touch the ground. And there are seats in the middle as well. And I am, you know, maybe tall, a little on the tall side for a woman, but I'm not tall, you know, by a general human standard. And I can't sit in the really high seats because it hurts my legs and my ass to sit in them. So I would rather stand. But so there was another seat, my favorite seat on the whole bus, that didn't have anyone sitting in it, but it did have a guy's bag in it, and a guy, buzz cut, all military looking, looked like he should have been, you know, riding his Hummer. He had a North Star, whatever the hell that North Face, whatever the fuck that is, jacket, and he had a Swiss Army knife bag that was occupying the chair. So as I am accustomed to doing, I asked him to move his bag. I did it very politely, and I said, "Can I sit here?" You know, or maybe even the more friendly, "Can I sit with you?" And it's also kind of like a child asking on a school bus, "Can I sit with you?" So I asked him to do that, and he just kind of pretended like he didn't hear me. So I asked him again, and he said, "There's a seat over there," pointing at the high seats that I won't sit in. And I'm like, "I can't sit there because it hurts me. Can I sit there?" And he said, "There's a seat right there." Except he had a bit of a southern accent, apparently. And finally, I squeezed in the back in between two people where there's three seats right next to each other and there was no one in the middle. And I had to, like, squeeze in between them because this motherfucker's bag needed a chair. And I was so pissed. I'm not sure if I called him a jerk or whatever, but I just about blew my top. But then at the same time, one of the guys I was sitting next to was calling him a jerkwad and, like, trying to remember what other names he called. But this was a year and a half ago. So, fast forward to last night. I was on the bus. I was riding home on the way from work to Rosemont. And it's my buddy. It's the same guy. His Hummer apparently in the shop again, sitting in the same seat, and with his bag next to him. So, this time there wasn't that many people on the bus. I sit down in the back, and I'm furiously texting Josh and Ken about, "Hey, it's that one guy, he's sitting up, I guess his Hummer's in the shop, me, 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 me." So, then later on, a couple Hispanic guys come and sit in the high chairs. And then they started making jokes. They're like, "Hey, I must not be average height. I must be short, because this seat, blah, blah, blah." And then Mr. Military Guy made a comment, "It's like a booster seat, huh?" And I was like, okay, so a year and a half later or whatever it is, this guy acknowledges that those seats are too uncomfortable to sit in, yet he tried to force me to sit in them. What is wrong with you? And he's sitting there continuing to banter with these guys, and I'm sitting here like, they don't want to banter with you. You're not, like, I don't know. He's not, unless you're, like, you know, really in love with the military, you know. And I have nothing against guys in the military, you know. Just, he's buzz cut, Hummer driving, you know. He's got all this, like, ugh, like leathery face, you know. Kind of reminds me of the old guy from American Beauty, the old neighbor guy, you know, the evil guy.
Yeah.
I guess the story ends there.
Maybe he went and took some, like, CTA sensitivity training or something in the past year and a half or so.
I couldn't believe it. The same seats that he tried to force me to sit in, he acknowledges that they're too uncomfortable to sit in. Okay, what's your story?
Okay, well, my story you know, at the, you know, my usual place to draw, the arcade. So I'm sitting there, and this guy comes up. Ever see, like, an 80s movie where it's, like, there's the Russian mafia, and, like, a whole bunch of, like, scary-looking, like, Russian thugs are there in suits. And then in the group, there's, like, one guy who's, like, bigger and, you know, broader, and you're watching the movie thinking, oh, shit, I can't wait to see what happens when Bruce Willis has to beat that guy
up. There's characters like that in Darkwing Duck, recurring characters.
Well, yeah, there's
the big Russian thug in the suit.
But in this particular thing, I'm not talking about anthropomorphic bulls or bears. I'm talking about, you know, actual human beings.
Okay.
So, like, I'm sitting here, and this guy comes up, and I'm going to show Carrie, because I managed to sneak a picture of him. Just notice that his head is cocked down next to other average height people, so you can get an idea about how tall he was. So,
wow.
So, yeah, he was a pretty big guy, and he's wearing a red and black striped, like, workout suit.
He looks like Josh's size.
Yeah. Actually, I think he was taller than Josh, and he was pretty scary. So he walks up, and he looks down at me, and he goes, he kind of points and goes, "Kishir!" And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "You caricature, you!" And I'm like, oh, he's saying that I'm a caricature artist. I'm like, oh, do you want me to draw you? And he's like, you know, nods his head yes. I'm like, okay. And, you know, I'm like a little freaked out because I can tell that he's like drunk. He's so drunk that like when he sits down, his left arm was just casually like hanging, like swinging. It knocked the top of one of those chairs and it like, boom, boom, like came over, fell over sideways. And he just kind of like looked over and glanced at it like, eh, and like went back, didn't put the chair back. So I'm like, oh, you know. Fucking great, the cast of Rocky IV is here, and now I have to draw this guy. So I didn't ask any questions because I figure I'm not going to break it down. I'm just going to give him the $5 one so I can get him out of here quickly. And I draw the $5 drawing of him, and I don't put his name on it because I'm not even going to fucking ask him, you know. So yeah. And I get done, and I show it to him, and he looks, and he's like, like he's like contemplating it, and, you know, then he says, you know, "You draw my son?" And some kid who looks like a normal little kid comes up, a boy, and I'm like, "Sure, you know." And then like the kid like suddenly vanished, and he had to go get the kid. And he's like, "How much?" And I'm like, "Well, it's $5." He hands me a $50 bill, and I'm like, "Oh, you know, like what?" He's like, "I'll go get my, you know, whatever." He didn't say it, but he was like saying, "Here, you take this money. I'm going to go get my kid." So I'm like, okay. And
getting him changed.
So basically, I stay there. I stuck the 50 in my wallet just because I didn't want to, like, set it on the table and have it disappear. So I put it in my wallet, stuck my wallet in my pocket, and I wait. He comes back with the kid, and then I sit down, I draw the boy. Meanwhile, I'm drawing the boy, the other people who are with him and his family or whatever, I can tell are behind me, like, 5 or 10 feet behind me, and they're, like, talking. And then I get done drawing the boy. You know, he picks up the boy caricature. He kind of, you know, walks kind of behind me again with it, keeping in mind I still have his $50 in my wallet for two drawings, which should have been like $10.
Uh-huh.
And then he comes back. I'm gonna mime this for Carrie, even just because I have to. He comes back and he's holding them, and he just kind of walks up to me, like holding them up, like towards me, and he shakes his head no, like.
What?
You know, and then like, so I'm like, all right. I'm fucked here because, A, he's big and scary. Two, he's drunk. And the third, he doesn't fucking speak English. So even if the first two weren't a factor, he's either not going to understand me or he's going to be able to get away with faking not being able to understand me when it comes to, no, you have to pay for these because I did them.
Yeah.
So I just got out my wallet. I got out the 50. I handed it to him. He gave me the drawings back, and he walked away.
Why didn't you hand him 40?
Because he was, you know, he was big, drunk, scary, Russian, Rocky IV motherfucker. I didn't want to be like, oh, here's 40, and then have to get into an argument with him about it and have him, you know, attempt to take a swing at me over $10. So, it wasn't worth it.
So the moral of the story is, well, Luke is scared of drunk guys.
No, I'm scared of scary big fucking, you know, Nikolai Volkov motherfucker guys who are drunk and you know. So fucking, and then here's the epilogue. So the next people in line, you know, we're like four, a family of four. I draw them real quick. They're fine. They're happy with it. They go. And then I, like, stand up because I've been sitting a while. So I stand up. He's still in the arcade. And apparently one of the two kids he was there with have disappeared because I see him just, like, walking through the arcade, like, all the way from one end to the other and, like, with determination. Mm-hmm. Like, he's looking, like, you know. So in my brain, I'm going, I must find John Connor. I must find John Connor. Going to get the Skynet. I will kill him and go to the future. Monkeys, monkeys, monkeys. When I do my Schwarzenegger, I always have him saying monkeys for no reason.
Okay.
Just because I wanted him to be in the Planet of the Apes remake. So, yeah, that is my story of the guy I referred to in my head as the Iron Giant.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's quite a story.
So in this episode, we had the Iron Giant and the Iron Whirligig. So, we'll have to have the Iron Giant face off against the Iron Whirligig and see who wins in that battle.
I wish I was as an amusing storyteller as you. Let's see.
Birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, because today is my mom's birthday. So,
oh,
yay.
Happy birthday, Momski.
Yes, Momski out there. I'm going to have dinner with her tomorrow evening at the Cracker Barrel.
Which is the evening between your birthday and hers.
Yes, my birthday is this Thursday.
I had enough foresight to buy your birthday presents quite a few days in advance, and I didn't have the foresight to bring it with me today, so... By the time you actually get it...
Visit sadtrombone.com for all your sad trombone needs.
By the time you actually get it, you'll already be 36, and you'll already had your birthday, and it won't matter anymore. And I'm not going to wrap it, because instead, I'm going to do the big reveal here for everyone to know.
Okay.
I got you the Critic Complete Series DVD.
Yay!
He like had like general joy at that notion.
Yes.
I
because, you know, it's only been at the top of my friggin' Amazon wish list for like 3, 4, or 5 years now. You'd think somebody would pick up on it. So,
well, it was
thank
a little
you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
It was a little expensive had I got it at the regular price, but as I've already mentioned to you, I did not. So, you know, it is perfectly priced for a Luke birthday present, and I also, another reason I got it is because I used to watch it. So, I mean, I don't know if I'd say I've seen every one, but I've seen most of them.
Yeah, it went 2 seasons. I think, I have a feeling there were only 20 episodes made, but it was a really hilarious series.
Yeah, I'd be curious to borrow it from you once you're done watching it. But
Indeedy.
I probably won't ever watch it like the other things that I borrow from you.
Well, thank you very much. I really, really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Now you have to turn 36 before you can get it.
Yay!
So, and finally, my husband and I are looking to rent a house in the Chicagoland suburbs, the west or northwest suburbs, or southwest, I guess, possibly as well. So, you know... I don't think it's that easy to find a house to rent, especially when you're not willing to rent from someone who's trying to sell it out from beneath you. So if anyone out there knows of a house to rent in the Chicagoland suburbs, please, please, badreport@gmail.com.
Yes.
So it's just about that time.
Yes. Time for the end of the show. So we are going to remind you all to please... as you did in Major Force for this episode, please make comments at the website badreport.com,
BADRAPPORT.com. And thanks to what we said earlier, they're going to leave comments about comments.
Yes.
And
then we'll turn into like one of those like picture within a picture within a picture, and then it'll, you know, be a cereal box.
Don't forget to fan us on Facebook.
Yes.
And
follow us
on Twitter, where we have posted, I think, nothing.
I've posted things letting people know that we have episodes.
Okay. And please please leave a review on iTunes. We only have 4 reviews.
We have 4 reviews.
Not to cut down those amazing 4 reviews, but we could really use more iTunes reviews in a really big way. So we can get those.
We're averaging at 4.5 stars, which is mind-boggling considering the episode we just recorded. So yeah, and of course the hotline where now you have another good reason to call and leave a message at 916-Lukeski, because not only will we play your comment on the air, but we will read what Google Voice thought your comment was on the air.
Yes.
So if you enjoyed that kind of crazy Japanese mistranslation, you know, wackiness, you can have that done with your voice. In fact, you could call up and intentionally say weird things just to see what it thinks you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to put things in Babelfish, you know, and then translate them back because I found that amusing, and this is even better.
Yeah.
So
yes, like we said, comments at badreport.com, 916-Lukeski to do the voice thing, Facebook, Twitter, and email badreport@gmail.com.
And he's going to play the outro music any second.
Yes, I'm going to play the outro music
any
right
second.
Now.
Whee!
And the song we're hearing after the outro is Thank God This Isn't Cleveland by Sigmund Snopek.
Which I wanted to hear just by the title, because I couldn't believe
it. I used to see him perform at Summerfest at the Comedy Tent back when they had one, and it's a classic on my mixtapes.
See you guys in 2 weeks.
Peace!
Hi, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the beer CD as much as I enjoyed making it. That's a lie. Okay. This is my infamous song, Thank God This Isn't Cleveland. You know, it's a song about the grass is always greener on the other side of the hill. Well, I can say that because I've been on the other side of the hill, and I'm almost over the hill, as a matter of fact. But I've toured the whole world with a group from Milwaukee called the Violent Femmes. Have you ever heard of them? If you haven't, your kids have. Well, anyhow, they took me to Australia. We went to Germany. We played tons of cities. We went to Sweden. We played, like, in London. Paris, France. And everywhere we went, we always told everybody, hey, we're from Wisconsin. To which most people would reply, Wisconsin, where is it? Then I would say, well, it's just north of Chicago. Then one day it dawned on me, it's the only thing Chicago's good for, to tell people where Wisconsin is, you know? And I like to announce right now that I'm running for governor in the state of Wisconsin. I've got a very, very simple ticket. Look out, you politicians. The ticket is free beer. That's right. If I'm elected governor of Wisconsin, it'll be free beer for the citizens for the rest of their lives. Now, we're not going to raise the taxes. It's really simple. The citizens of Illinois will pay for the beer. Now, I've done some research, and after years and years of driving south, what's the first thing you see when you hit the state line that says toll road? When you drive north, it says freeway. Well, I added up all my receipts because I do a cash business. I got all the receipts for my whole life. It's $8,000. Now, you can buy a lot of beer for that, like a semi full of Lats or something. But simple, we'll charge people from Illinois like $15 or maybe $50 to come to the state for 2 weeks. Then they have to wear a little cheesehead sticker right between their eyes, kind of like the Damien tree of cheese. Now when the sticker wears off, they got to get out or pay up again. Then we take all that money and use it to buy free beer for the citizens of Wisconsin for the rest of their lives. Now I'm not talking about we're going to deliver the beer. We're going to hire some plumbers and change the fixtures. It's going to be hot water, cold water, beer. Like that way you can like be in the bathtub with your honey bunny, taking like a beer bath or a beer shower. No, honey, I'm drinking Mighty Cool Red. Now, if you're like me, you'll get nervous if there isn't a beer within walking distance. That's why I live in Milwaukee. You can get a flat tire anywhere within the city limits. Get out of your car, walk to the next house. Hey, it's a bar, you know? Some people think they got a lot to complain about when they get a flat tire at 35th and National, or they get lost in the Industrial Valley after a Brewers game and they end up in Kaukauna smelling like a paper mill. Later on, they drive to Little Chute where they consume mass quantities of Lining Kugels, known in some circles as gerbil juice. But not me. I know better. See, I've been all over the whole world. I traveled far and wide, but it's always great to get back home to the land of 1,000 bars. Some people bitch about Milwaukee, but me, I don't really care. As long as I can drink that beer, as long as I still got some hair, thank God this isn't Cleveland. Thank God this isn't Cleveland. You know, every year year I write a new verse for this song, and it was a couple of years ago. We had a really bad year here. I remember Cripple Sporidium hit. I had it. Oh, it was awful, awful. I should have been drinking vodka for those weeks. Instead, I was drinking that water. Oh, I got so sick. And then later on, the Cleveland Indians were in first place, and the Milwaukee Brewers were in last. Oh, it was depressing. Then to boot, they canceled the season. And then they canceled the World Series. Oh my God, I thought the communists had taken over or something. Now, if you told me like in 1965 that you'd be living in Milwaukee and you couldn't drink the water, and they were going to cancel the World Series, but you could like gamble, play slot machines and stuff right down in the Menominee Valley, I just said, you crazy.
Well, they might be in first place, we might be in last. And when you drink our water, it comes right out of your ass. And the mayor, he can't really sing. And his wife, she's a Grateful Dead fan. I can't figure out why. And is there any reason to ever leave the land of the Friday night fish fry? Thank God this isn't Cleveland. Oh, thank God this isn't Cleveland.
Song in Cleveland one time. Didn't we remember that?
I remember we sang it in Cleveland one time, Sid, and actually, I came out and I had to tell you, if you did not sing this song on stage,
oh my God,
you were going to be fired. And I even told you to leave your clothes on.
But I said, Victor, we're in Cleveland. How can we sing that God is in Cleveland? We went out there.
Get out there or you're fired.
Okay, so we went out there, like 3,000 punk rock fans staring at us like they wanted to like kill us. Then all at once, as if on cue, they all raised their hands and they gave us the one finger salute. There we were in Cleveland City.
Oh, no!
Thank God this is a Cleveland.
Oh my God.
I hate that story.
Well, we tried to build a ballpark and we hoped that it would grow. So we almost turned that beautiful dream
into a
$30 million hole. And the politics are smarmy. And the perch is starting to die. And the winter lasts so long in Milwaukee that it almost turned the song to me. But after all's said and done, Milwaukee is inside my head. And I love it as much as I love my buddy and my friend. Kalamazoo. If I'm feeling a little homesick, I'll tell you what I do. I go out and eat some pork chops, find some grandmas, or see a show. Cause being anywhere is better than being in Ohio. Oh, thank God this isn't Cleveland.
Cuyahoga River, which flows right to downtown Cleveland, caught on fire. But you know what? I don't care. That thing burned for 7 years. Now, it might get cold in Milwaukee. It might get cloudy 22 days in a row. And it might not get like a really great day for 3.5 years.
But I'll tell you one thing. You never see the Milwaukee River on fire. And if you ever do see that thing on fire again, I promise, I really promise, I'll never sing this song again. Long ago, Lake Erie was almost totally dead, too. There wasn't a fish in it, not even in the meatball. You know what we got? We got Bobby Lake, Long Lake, Black Lake, Rice Lake, Blue Lake, Silver Lake, Okachi Lake, Gold Lake, Lake Nagawicca. We got Lake Front Beer. We got all kinds of lakes. We got fish! Fish!
Well, this just got the Indians in Cleveland!
This just beat the Indians!
Irish.
I've been smoking.
A marijuana grower thought his small cop... A marijuana grower thought his small crop was being... Okay. I'll edit this out in post, but... A marijuana thought his small cop... Oh, God, I'm totally sticking this in the end of the episode.
Okay. I could put you in touch with a man who could help you. A man named El Caban.
That won't be necessary.
Oh, yes, it will.
Caban!